The Beat Podcast is brought to you by Nutritia and is designed for healthcare professionals only.
Avril Flynn, a midwife and educator, is asking the questions in this episode.
You are so welcome to the Beat Podcast. I'm Avril Flynn. I'm a midwife based in Dublin, and I'm absolutely delighted on this episode where we talk about supporting parents' feeding choices as healthcare professionals to talk to another great midwifery colleague, Pip. It's so lovely to have you here, Pip. Pip is a practicing midwife in the UK. She is a sister on a very busy delivery suite, currently though on maternity leave. And we're very lucky to have a third member of the podcasting team in the shape of her absolutely gorgeous baby son, Finlay. And so if you hear him during the podcast, this is the joy of being a working mom, isn't it? And Pip runs her own antenatal classes similarly to me and has a deep and wide understanding of the varied nature of supporting parents, really. And I love your ethos that a positive birth experience does not have to be unmedicated. It just needs to be from an informed place of positivity and free from fear, which would be so aligned with my own ethos. But on to, first of all, very welcome to you and Finlay.
Thank you. It's exciting to be with you. And it's always great to chat with other midwives, especially whilst I'm on maternity leave. I've kind of missed talking to midwifery colleagues. So yeah, it's fab to be on.
And, firstly, to get into it, you have a huge experience working with parents all through the antenatal, right up and through the postnatal. And I'm sure now that you are a parent yourself. But when we talk about, as a healthcare professional, supporting parents around nutrition, the first thing to say is that we always have to be incredibly conscious of promoting breastfeeding and supporting that choice and understanding, though, that sometimes there can be a little bit of resistance to it. But what are your experiences and observations from working with parents from the antenatal, parts of from right through all the trimesters? What's your experience, Pip?
Yeah, I think it's probably fair to say, and it's brilliant to say as well, that in the current world we live in, the kind of benefits of breastfeeding for most, both maternal and child health, are really well understood. So I think it's few and far in between now that I work with parents that aren't already really acutely aware of those benefits. However, there is still a massive, I think, kind of stigma, and parents are really worried about being judged regardless of their infant feeding choice. They always seem to be worried, that I'm going to be judged for this or for that. When it comes to breastfeeding parents, they're concerned about breastfeeding their baby in public. They're worried about how that's going to be portrayed. They're also worried about things like what their parents, what their grandparents, what their friends are going to say, even June down the road. Parents are so acutely aware of being kind of judged about their choices when it comes to parenting. And I really think that infant feeding is at the forefront of that. And regardless of what we know and what the evidence tells us, I think sometimes those social stigmas can be even stronger than the kind of evidence base in influencing infant feeding choices.
Yeah, I would totally echo and agree with that. In Ireland, we have one of the lowest breastfeeding rates within the whole Western Hemisphere. Wow. And it's been studied hugely. But one of the absolute things that keeps coming out is the perception of judgment and also the lack of knowledge base. So that the fact that our own mothers and grandmothers didn't. Mm. So that education, that peer support has been very much lost. So although health visitors, public health nurses and midwives can support, but if you're only in with the normal delivery for 24 hours, and then you have a busy public health nurse during the pandemic, a lot of them haven't been doing home visits, you can see how easy it is to not get the support that you need. And I think that's a big factor. Would you agree with that?
Oh, 100%. I totally echo everything you just said, because support is essential. You know, breastfeeding, despite being the most natural thing in the world, it is not easy. And without support, it's, you know, it feels almost impossible for some parents. And I'm sure it's probably no different in Ireland, because I'm sure it's a massive national issue, in that postnatal care is kind of like the Cinderella of the maternity services, isn't it? You know, you see the midwife every couple of weeks in your pregnancy, and then you have your baby, and it's a bit like, oh, off you go. You know, good luck. See you at 6 months, and then I'll ask you whether you're still breastfeeding, but we're not going to give you loads of infant feeding support along the way. And I think that barrier to support and accessible support for women is definitely something that we need to improve on. And I think that's something that I see a lot, and women are always worried in pregnancy, you know, about getting off to a good start with feeding. But if we aren't there to support them, then, you know, we can't overcome those barriers, which are really, really key.
Yeah. And I think that is something that definitely, I mean, what a brilliant phrase to use, the Cinderella of the maternity world, because it really is. We do kind of, as healthcare professionals, in some way abandon our clients. Mm-hmm. And unless they can afford private support, or that they have very good peer support, or that they know how to access that, which for a lot of women and families, it's about accessing as well. Like, not everyone has access to even the internet, not everyone has access to transport that they can go and maybe attend a group. And with the pandemic, also, all of that was stopped anyway. So I think, you know, the small kind of things that we had gained, I think we might have lost a lot of that, and that would concern me. And what do you see parents choosing, though, when they're asking for your help and support? Do you see mostly breastfeeding, formula feeding, or combination feeding from your perspective?
Yeah, so I think from my perspective, I see mostly breastfeeding. However, I'm very aware that I work in the kind of acute area. So I'm based on a delivery suite and working with parents in those first 3 hours of birth. So that's the time when we know babies are most likely to latch successfully anyway, because of the hormonal changes that happen. But also it's when we do have the most intimate support. However, if I was one of my perhaps community colleagues or health visiting colleagues or GPs that were seeing women later on, we know that certainly in the areas I practice, that breastfeeding progressively drop off. So you might see people breastfeeding or formula feeding or even combination feeding their baby. And actually that can be a really, really great option for lots of new families, whether that's to assist with things like mum getting extra rest when she's breastfeeding, returning to work. There can be so many different circumstances in which combination feeding can be a brilliant feeding choice for families. And for some families, it can mean that babies receive more breast milk or are breastfed for longer than they would have been otherwise. So it's another great option to explore with our families that we support. I feel like I see a lot of initiation of breastfeeding. I'm not sort of blinkered to the fact that the levels I'm seeing aren't necessarily what's representative, you know, 6, 12, 18 weeks down the line. And I think, like you said, you know, that barrier to accessing healthcare professional support means that women are reliant more on kind of friends and family, which is wonderful in so many ways, Finley agrees. But also it depends on your friends and family. So classic example, Avril, was myself. So, you know, cluster feeding in those first few days, we know as midwives, that's really, really normal. My mum, who, you know, back in the day, it was very normal to bottle feed. You know, you only breastfed if you couldn't afford bottles. So she was saying to me, he's obviously just hungry, Pip. You know, you're not feeding him enough. You need to give him formula. You need to give him a bottle. And if that's the only support you can access, and you haven't got, you know, sort of a midwife or a health visitor actually educating you around the normal physiology, then it's no wonder parents start doubting themselves and then switch over to feeding choices that perhaps weren't plan A for them.
I always thought, and I have thought about it, is that one of the things that we almost need to do as healthcare professionals is not only educate the mum, but actually the much wider family support, that if we actually had like grandparents' antenatal class and actually told, because I really do think that obviously our parents and grandparents and the community at large want us to succeed. But sometimes from their perspective, actually saying those things which are unhelpful and patently not actually really being supportive or true. If we could actually educate them, then we might stop a lot of that kind of problematic language. And you know, you've come up with some brilliant kind of, I suppose, points as to understanding the reasons behind the various decisions that parents make. And I would think, and the research would definitely say the biggest one is that information lack. But how do you think, as healthcare professionals, we can best support parents?
I think it needs to come early on. So I think it's no good me at the point of a baby being born, then reeling off to women, you know, the pros and cons about all different feeding choices. It's just too little too late. By that point, they've got preconceptions. They've started to plan in terms of equipment they're buying or not buying, and their little one's there. And the last thing they're thinking about is then taking in loads more evidence and loads more information. They just kind of want to get on with the next steps. So I think it needs to come early. I think throughout pregnancy, we need to be supporting women with all the evidence, allowing them to prepare, allowing them, you know, to, I guess, kind of explore their body, because as with all kind of female organs and breasts included, they have to some sort of members of society been sexualized in a way. And therefore the idea of breastfeeding can have some barriers from that aspect. So I think the earlier we start talking about, you know, the real evidence and those benefits and how that can fit into life and overcoming those questions and barriers, you know, whether that is, how am I going to return to work? How am I going to, you know, have a hot bath on my own? Or, you know, making sure we look at families as individuals. Everyone has got a different set of circumstances and therefore going to have different barriers or different challenges when it comes to whatever their feeding choice might be. And we need to start exploring those and unpicking them earlier on. And then, like you said, I totally agree, getting those around them. You know, we always say you can't do motherhood on your own. You know, it takes an army of support. So getting that army of support on board and educating them at the same time is so, so key. Because if you've got conflicting information, our poor mums have no idea where to turn to. So we need everyone to be kind of singing from the same hymn sheet, as we like to say.
And I also think, you know, if we would admit amongst ourselves that sometimes, despite all the regulations, despite all the education that we have, I think sometimes amongst particular healthcare professionals, and maybe some of them are listening, and maybe we need to challenge our own practices, but sometimes we don't have the most up-to-date information and might have some bias ourselves or some inbuilt bias that perhaps we're a little bit resistant to that ourselves. And I mean, certainly you can get the odd person, you know, and I suppose we need to start challenging each other as well in you know, and really getting to grips and understanding why perhaps the numbers don't add up, or, you know, the reports from women and families themselves say that they don't feel as supported. Would you echo that sentiment?
Definitely. And I think there's definitely work to be done with healthcare professionals and our students. You know, our students are the future of midwifery and supporting families. So they are really, really key in these conversations. And when I speak to women, I don't know about you, but they always tell me that the information when it comes to infant feeding is really conflicting. And that's down to us. You know, if we're not telling them the same thing, then, oh my goodness, they are going to be so, so confused. So we need to make sure we're all up to date. And stuff changes so quickly, doesn't it? I mean, even in my career as a midwife, you know, the things we talk about with infant feeding, from, you know, we always used to use cups, or the differences with syringe feeding, etc. It changes all the time, and it can be a challenge to keep up to date. But it's really, really pivotal to our job of supporting new families that we do. And that, like you say, we do challenge each other, because we never know everything, you know, as midwives or as practicing healthcare professionals, we never know everything. And if we thought we did, we probably need to stop practicing, because every day is a school day, isn't it? We're always learning. We're always developing. We've all got different tips and tricks that we can kind of share and chat to each other about. And so I think having open, honest discussions is really vital.
And yeah, and I think as well, being honest for the, you know, the good times and the bad. So to kind of be, I think sometimes one of the things that I find in my practice that puts parents off or puts women off from attempting is the fear of being perceived as a failure, but also that they don't ask for help or don't know how to ask for help. And I think as well, that's on us. That is on us, that we're not being open and honest about the challenges, and then managing expectations. yes, you can be absolutely pro breastfeeding, but you can be honest and manage the expectations a little bit better. And I think sometimes that lacks, and that stops somebody wanting to have a go.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, we all, like, as a new mum myself that's been navigating their own breastfeeding journey, even with my knowledge as a midwife, some of those nights are super, super tough. And if you don't know that they're normal, then there is no way you're going to persevere. And actually, I was having a conversation with a midwife friend the other day who's also had a baby. And we both sort of said, if we didn't know that these were normal challenges, I think we both would have at that point switched over to either, you know, combi feeding or formula feeding. Because if we're not, like you say, if we don't manage those expectations and we tell women that it's the easiest thing in the world and, you know, your baby will just root up your stomach and put themselves on the breast. And then if that doesn't happen, they're like you say, oh, well, this is not working for me. So plan B. Whereas actually, if we can educate early, and I think also being honest about some of the things that we can predict in terms of being a challenge. So if we know, for example, that a mum's had perhaps breast surgery, perhaps she's got inverted nipples, perhaps she's at high risk of having a preterm birth, or some of those things that we know can make infant feeding a little bit more challenging and establishing breastfeeding slightly more tricky, having those conversations early, you know, and putting things in place sooner rather than later to support those mums as well is, I think, part of that managing expectations.
Yeah, and I would totally agree with that. And I mean, I think the main point that we're making is we all need to start singing from the same hymn sheet. We all need to start having a more consistent view and advice. And I mean, I hope, you know, healthcare professionals listening to this, maybe just have a chat amongst themselves and amongst, you know, within their trusts about who is actually providing the information and is it all consistent? Because, you know, that's not what we're hearing from clients.
Absolutely. Yeah. We know we're not being consistent because I think if we did a little survey for the women who perhaps might tune into us, I'm sure most of them would say that they've heard some conflicting things, you know, whether it's been something to do with the position of the baby or how long a feed should go for or how long to leave their baby in between feeds. There are so many variables. And I think, I guess as well, Avril, to flip it on its head perhaps and be fair to us as healthcare professionals, there isn't always one size fits all, is there, with feeding a baby, and that they're not robots, we're not robots. So actually what one baby does is going to be different to what another baby does. So the advice that might have been given to your friend and their baby might be different to the advice that's given to you. And actually, that's okay. And that might be appropriate.
Absolutely. And I also think when you've gone through a breastfeeding journey yourself, your advice, you know, and of course, not every midwife will have children or breastfeed or, you know, and that doesn't make them any better or worse or any healthcare professional. You know, there are brilliant male midwives and lactation consultants and breastfeeding supporters. But I do think when you have gone through a journey yourself, you understand from both sides a little bit better as to some of the challenges. And I suppose, you know, empathy and compassion is, you know, have to be keywords in any of the information that we're giving as healthcare professionals. And I think sometimes it can allow you to be more empathetic because you've been there yourself.
Yeah, definitely. And I often reflect on my sort of pregnancy and postpartum journey and think, you know, how will that influence my practice? And I actually think that probably my breastfeeding journey is going to be the most influential. Because it is, you know, it is just tough. And I think we are conditioned to think because it's, you know, the sort of most natural form of feeding and it's brilliant that we're sort of, you know, seeing lots of breastfeeding images, etc., to normalize it. But we assume therefore that it's easy and it's just not always the case, is it? I think it's important we kind of shout that from the rooftops a little bit so mums don't feel alone if actually they're having a little bit of a challenging time.
I think, you know, that's a lovely place to kind of finish up on that. You know, that's what we need to do. And one of the things that I always say when I'm talking to other healthcare professionals and talking to parents is that I see a breastfeeding journey similarly, or an infant feeding journey similarly, as that of learning how to drive a car. Yes, you know, when you've been driving for a long time, it can seem quite simple. But when you first get into a car and have to do indication, mirrors, and changing gears, it takes maybe 20 to 30 lessons, or it took me 20 to 30 lessons before it becomes this automatic thing. And then one day you're driving down the road and you're not paying as much attention. And I think that can feel quite similar to you know, feeding decisions with a baby. That one day, yes, it will take off, but there can be a lot of lessons from getting from A to B.
Oh, definitely. And I always say to mums, you know, your baby's been cozy inside you for 9 months and you've automatically fed them and they've been born into this strange world. They're just about realizing that their hands are attached to their own arms. They're in their funny cot. They've got strange clothes on and then they've got to feed themselves. So actually it's mum and baby are both learning this whole new skill and it just doesn't happen overnight. It takes time.
And is there anywhere in particular for any healthcare professionals listening that you think is a really good source of information?
Yeah, good question. And I think it's difficult. And I'm always wary, to be honest, when I tell people to look at things on the internet, because it's not necessarily always updated as regularly as it should be. It's not always evidence-based. There can be so much bias, especially when it comes to this subject. So I'd recommend instead perhaps looking a little bit more in-house, especially if you work for a breastfeeding friendly hospital, then actually you should have a midwife who's specialised in infant feeding in your unit that can make sure that you are looking at evidence-based and updated resources. The Google can be a dangerous rabbit hole, can't it, for everything, and especially I think this subject.
Absolutely. And like, everybody has an opinion, but opinions are not necessarily evidence-based. And that's a beautiful place to bring us to. Thank you so much, Midwife Pip, and the gorgeous Finley, who made some excellent points and contributions. A perfect little supporter for the future for us all. And a beautiful baby, by the way. Whatever you're doing, you did it brilliantly. And thank you so much for that. And I hope anybody listening, any of the healthcare professionals listening, really start to open a conversation. And great advice on seeking that, you know, in-house expertise. Seek it out, get the most up-to-date information, and that's how we'll make it better for the wonderful clients in our care. Thank you so much for joining me on The Beat today, and thank you so much, Pip and Finley.
To keep up to date with future episodes of The Beat podcast from Nutritia, make sure you subscribe on whichever platform you listen to your podcasts on. For more updates on the show, as well as lots of other educational content from Nutritia, sign up to our newsletter at www.nutritia.co.uk. We'll be right back.